Just want to welcome you again in the house of the Lord, and I pray that God is going to bring us a blessing, a special blessing.
I don't know if I am the right person to be here, but God put it on my heart to share with you some of the messages that he had prepared. And, you know, we only hold the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to help us, to guide us in everything we do. I think you see, do I need to go down there or can you see? Yes, I think it's good. I just want to offer another prayer for God's Holy Spirit to lead us in the study of this important message. Heavenly Father, please be with us this moment. I'm coming before you as a person that, you know, doesn't have anything to say, but you, Lord, can use me to present the message from you. Lord, help me to say the words and to bring the message in this parable that it's important for our lives and impress on our hearts that you have a work for us to do and you have a mission for us. And help us to raise up to the mission you have prepared for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All I can say is that God is good, isn't he? Always he is good. Looking at our lives now and in a recent past, we can see, and we only can see if we have the eyes of the faith to see how God had blessed us and how God had led us in our lives. For the past few weeks, I have been convicted of my unworthiness and wretchedness. I'm not, you know, looking at my life, you know, people see good things, but looking what I really am, I know that I don't deserve to be here. But I know by God's grace, that God's grace is sufficient for me to stand up before you and can present this message. And he is good, merciful, and generous. That's all I can say. If you remember the last time I was here, we were talking about the parable of the sower. And this parable is well known and it's present in different areas in the Gospels. It's not only in one Gospel. Today, we're going to look at a different parable. It's the parable of the seed. And the parable of the seed, it's in a way a spin-off from the parable of the sower because they use the same theme and it's presented in the same context in a Gospel of Mark. When the first they heard the parable of the sower, the disciples were very interested. They wanted to know more. So they come to Jesus, the first opportunity they had, they come to Jesus and they ask, please, Lord, what does it mean? And he was willing, Jesus was willing and able to explain to them what the parable of the sower meant. And he is willing to open our eyes and our hearts today if we are willing to listen. So that's why it's important when you have questions, something doesn't feel right for you, if you don't understand it, come to Jesus and ask him. And he will be willing to open our hearts and understanding. Today, let's direct our attention to the Bible. The passage that the parable of the seed is found, it's in Mark 4, verses 28 and 29. Mark 4, 28 and 29. No, 26 and 29, I'm sorry. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it into the sickle because the harvest is come. This parable, it's very short. It's not a long parable. It doesn't have a lot of elements. But I hope you remember when we are talking about the parable of the sower, there were three elements that were there. There was the sower, there was the soil, there was the seed. And while the parable of the sower, the main focus was on the soil, the types of soil. On this, in the parable of the seed, there are the same three elements. There is the sower, there is the soil, there is the seed. So they have the same elements. The parable of the sower was presented in three out of the four Gospels. This parable, it's only presented in Mark. So let's see what we can learn from this parable. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge that the message of this parable comes directly from Jesus. Jesus, you know, when we look at the passage, it says, and he said, and he means Jesus said. Each Bible message is important. And we should recognize that God is speaking through each and every person that has written the Bible. We should not uplift one part of the Bible and just downplay the other one. We should know that God is using each story, each song, each experience, each prophecy to our benefit. So everything that is in the Bible is for our benefit. As Paul said in 1 Timothy, all scripture, so there is not any part of the scripture that it's not inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. So there has a role for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in the righteousness. However, when Jesus speaks, these words are coming directly from God. So we need to pay a closer attention. So Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God. This expression, so is the kingdom of God, it puzzled me for a little while. I'm looking at Jesus spoke in many parables, and I'm positive that not all the parables he spoke are in a scripture, but about 28 of the parable of Jesus, Ellen White talks about them in this book called Christ Object Lesson. So out of the 28 parables, about 12 of them start with this expression. So the kingdom of God is. So Luke, it uses the expression, what I should liken the kingdom of God. So it should have a meaning. Why does certain parables start with this expression, the kingdom of God is like, or so is the kingdom of God it's like? I'm curious by nature, you know, because of this. You know, I was trying to say, okay, all the parables start with this? No, not all the parables. And why does Jesus use this opening phrase? The common thread I find in all the parables that start with this phrase, it's all these parables have something to do with our relationship with Christ, with our growth in Christ, or our developing our Christian experience. So in a way, when Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, he's telling you that we need to pay attention to this parable because it's a certain aspect of our Christian life we need to develop to be able to be part of the kingdom of God. We cannot go in a kingdom of God if we don't have these important characteristics. So that's why he uses the kingdom of God, just to draw our attention to the message that is in the parable. In recent months, Brother Said was talking about justification, sanctification, glorification, and he in a quick review, he was saying justification is the title to heaven, sanctification is the fitness from for heaven, and glorification is our passport to heaven. In a way, these parables that are starting with the word, so the kingdom of God is like, it is the our fitness from heaven, our sanctification process, how we get there. We started in being justified, but how do we get from being having the title for heaven to be able to get into heaven? And these parables, it's helping us to understand how we get there. Let's look first at the first main component is the sower. Okay, so in this parable we have we mentioned three elements: the sower, the soil, and the seed. Looking at the sower, and I kind of italic all the things that pertain to the sower. It says, it's a man should cast a seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He know it not how. So we need to see who is this sower. You know, each parable has different elements, and the explanation what this element depends on the context of the parable. You cannot apply, you know, if this is true for every parable. You know, each parable has their own context and has their own meaning for what does it mean. So as a man, this man can be Jesus because he was called the Son of Man, and he called himself the Son of Man, but at the same time can be any human being, a man. And the other identifying characteristics that we find here is it says that the man has the seed. It's not any man, it's the man that has the seed. And when we're looking at Jesus. Jesus, the seed is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and he has the Word of God. But at the same time, when you're looking at his disciples, he gave the Word of God to his disciples. And if you're looking at a book of Acts of Apostles, you see how they spread the Word of God. They did the work of God. So looking only for these two characteristics, being a man and having the seed, it either can be go two ways, you know. It can be either Jesus or any man. But the following two characteristics, it help us identify who the parable is talking about. And it says, should sleep and raise day and night, and he know it not. Does Jesus sleep over his charge? Does he knows everything? Amen. See, when we talk in this parable, when they are talking about the sower, it's talking about the gospel workers, the people who are working for God. It's not talking about Jesus. In the Christ Object Lesson, it says, but the sower of the seed represent those who labor in Christ's stead. The seed is said to spring and grow up. He know it not how. And this is not true of the Son of God. Christ does not sleep over his charge, but watches it day and night. He is not ignorant of how the seed grows. So he always know. So the sower in the parable is the gospel worker. While the main focus of the parable is on the seed, there are certain lessons, important lessons we can learn from the sower itself. The sower, as we find out before, is the gospel worker. The question is, who is or can be a gospel worker? Who are these gospel workers? Is the only the pastor, the Bible worker, people from the conference, church officers? No. According with this parable, the sower is he who has the seed. Do we have the seed of the truth in our lives? Then we are the workers. There is no, we cannot go around this. However, when it comes to sowing the seeds, we do need to be very careful. The spirit of prophecy says this: As in the spiritual, as in the natural, so in the spiritual sowing. The teacher of truth must seek to prepare the soil of the heart. He must sow the seed. In the preaching of the world, there must be the working of an agency beyond any human power. And this is something that we need to pay attention. It's not enough for the man to go and preach the word and say the word. If the man doesn't work with the divine agencies, the seed cannot sprout. Only through the divine spirit will the word be living and powerful to renew the soul unto eternal life. This is what Christ tried to impress upon his disciples. He taught that it was nothing they possessed in themselves which would give them success in their labor, but that it is the miracle working power of God which gives efficiency to his own word. What a powerful statement here. We do need to listen at, you know, we as people, we should cast the seed, we should preach the truth, but then we go and as the passage in Mark says, should sleep at night, raise up in the morning, and we don't know how this seed is growing. We only know that we sow it, we put it in the ground. And that's where it comes, our trust in the Lord, that whatever work we do for his honor and glory, he's going to bring to fruition. All he's asked from us is to prepare the soil and to cast the seeds of truth. After that, we can go to sleep and rise, and nothing we can do in our own can make the seed grow. It's only by the power of God. While we continue to live our life according to God's plan, the seed we planted will grow unknown to us, but under special care in all-knowing eye of God. This is the wonderful collaboration between human and divine. It takes an act of faith for a person, for a man to throw the seed in the ground. It may be, while the seed is in our human hand, we can use it for our sustenance. We can, you know, like if we have wheat, we can grind it, we can make flour, we can make bread, it provides us food. But once we throw it in the ground, it's like, it seems like a loss. We don't have any benefit, immediate benefit from it. But we're going to reap a benefit later. I don't know if any one of us, we went through times of famine, but I only read about people having to just make a hard choice between eating the seed or keeping it for the future harvest. And just imagine, he knew that he has the food at his hand, but at the same time he have to save it for use it at a later time. And he had to go through trials, to problems, to hunger probably, just to see the future assured. It does take an act of faith for the man to throw the seed in the ground. We do, on a spiritual level, is the same, it's true for us. We have the seed of truth. But if we keep the seed of truth only for us, and we don't throw it in the ground and seed it, how we can assure for the future growth? We don't have it. If we all just hold the food for ourselves, we don't do a service for us or for the future. You can eat now, you know, I'm thinking about the widow on Zarephath when Elijah went to see her and said, okay, just bring me something to eat. And she says, I have nothing. I have only this little flour and this little oil, and I'm gathering some sticks, and I'm going to make a piece of bread and eat. My son and myself are going to eat, and then we're going to die. If we don't, you know, if we use all the truth only for ourselves and keep it, we're not going to have it to sustain us for the future. The death, you know, that's the result of just using everything we have. That's why it's important for us to throw the seed and allow for the seed to grow and bring forth, because that's the only way we can get more. And only when we give, share, sow the truth, so to speak, it may appear like a loss in the beginning, but the Word of God clearly states the fruit, the sowing will result in increase, some 40, some 60, some 100, but that's what Christ says, the seed should spring. There is no other way. This is a promise of God, and we can count on it. God's servant says, man has his part to act in promoting the growth of the grain. He must prepare and enrich the soil and cast in the seed. He must till the fields, but there is a point beyond which he can accomplish nothing. No strength or wisdom of man can bring forth from the seed the living plant. Let man put forth his efforts to the utmost limit. He must still depend upon one who has connected the sowing and the reaping by wonderful links of his own omnipotent power. Only through the divine spirit will the word be living and powerful to renew the soul into eternal life. That is what Christ impressed upon his disciples. He taught that this was nothing they possessed in themselves which could give success to their labor, but that is the miracle working power of God which gives efficiency to his own word. Let's not forget, in this passage mentioned the other element of the parable, the soil. There is the soil preparation. It's not part of, you know, it's something that happened. It's something that the sower needs to do. It's something that the sower needs to invest in order for him to gain, to have a result, a harvest. God, the human element and the lesson we need to get from this, you know, and we're going to get it from the part of the sower when we're talking about the sower, but also from the seed. There is need to be a collaboration between human and divine. There is not only can be the human does everything or God does everything. We need to do our parts if we want the God to do his part. And we don't say that God is not able to do the human part. He is able, more than able to do it. But he gives us this opportunity, this privilege to work together with him and to see the miracle of God's work in our lives and in other people's life. The seed. We are talking about in the seed, the next part, let me go to the, okay. The seed, the elements that help identify or know what the seed, and we know the seed is the word of God. The seed, it's cast into the ground. The seed springs and grows up. And also, there is a certain way of developing the seed. It's first, there is the blade, then the ear, then the corn. So there is a certain way the plant grows. You don't have a plant from the beginning, you know, the full growth grown plant from the beginning. The seed is the word of God that is sown into the soil of our human heart. This is how our real Christian experience develop. God's servant says the germination of the seed represents the beginning of the spiritual life. And the development of the plant, it is a beautiful figure of Christian growth. In this parable, we can see ourselves as the sower, but also we can see also as the people who receive the seed in our heart. We need to go through this experience of having the beginning of our spiritual life, a beginning of our life experience with God, in order for us to become the workers of God. We cannot give something that we don't have. I don't know if you remember the first time when you find out about God, when you know about God, when the seed took place in your heart. Can you go back at that time when the seed was sown in our hearts? I do remember, each one of us has different soils of the heart. Each one of us has different rate of growth. We cannot compare one with another in our Christian experience. But because we are here, we know that we have a Christian experience. It's not because we don't have one, but because we have one, and that's what leads us to be present here, to know more, to learn more, to grow more. I do remember my own experience, and by no means it's any spectacular experience. As many of you know, I grew up in a practicing Seventh-day Adventist family, and with all the advantages of the Christian's lifestyle, the seed of the Gospels was sown to me since I was a little girl, and I had a great teacher. They had a sandbox where all the figurines teaching us all the Bible stories. Was a great experience where I can see how God put each seed of the truth in my heart. I know only God protected me through the childhood and youth years for the seed to take place, to take root in my life, and to grow and develop. Looking back at my life, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful that God led me the way He led me. And probably you can say the same about your life. I don't know your own experiences, and probably your experiences are much different than mine. But when you're looking where we were before to where we are now, we can see that God's hand was in everything, and He led us so far. I know that I should be better than I am, but I know I'm still growing, and by God's grace, I'm gonna continue to do God's work and allow Him to work in my life. There is more work to be done in my life, and I pray that God will find me willing and able to continue His work. There are a great number of lessons we can learn from the seed and the way it develops to be a mature plant. And because it's going to help us to know how the seeds take place in our hearts and what changes need to take place in our hearts in order for us to produce the good seed. And that's what we're going to talk for the next few minutes. Let's say we are in the beginning of Christian walk, and the seed of truth was sown in our heart. Through the working of God and His servants. The showers of rain must be sent to give us moisture. And another thing I wanted to say, and I wanted to make sure, when Christ talks about kingdom, when in each parable He talks about the kingdom of God is like, He doesn't talks about the real Christian experience. He doesn't talk about the false or the something that is not real or is not right. When he's talking about this in these parables, he doesn't talk about the seed that was boiled and it's not working, or the tares that doesn't bring good fruit. He's talking about the good seed, the right seed. He's talking about the real Christian experience, not about the false revivals or about false things. It's about it doesn't get more real than it is, like it is. Holy Spirit, when we're talking about the soil needs to be prepared, and the Holy Spirit is preparing the seed, the soil of our hearts. Spirit of Prophecy put it this way: there is life in the seed, there is power in the soil, but unless an infinite power is exercised day and night, the seed will yield no returns. The showers of rain must be sent to give moisture to the thirsty fields. The sun must be impart heat. Electricity must be connected to the buried seed. The life which the Creator has implanted, He alone can bring forth. Every seed grows. Every plant develops by the power of God. God has placed in each seed the life-containing principle. In a right condition, the seed will crack, and the small plant will start inching its way out of the shell. The same is true for the Word of God. The Word of God has life in itself, and that's, we're not talking about life, but the eternal life. God generously gives us His Word. It does take collaboration with God, given agencies to create the right conditions for the seed to open its shell and produce the developing new life in Christ. There is life in the seed. There is power. There is power in the soil. There is rain, there is warmth from the sun, there is God interventions that brings the life, the seed He had put in our hearts. No man can force the plant to grow. Only God can make it grow. The plant grows by receiving that which God has provided to sustain its life. It sends deep its roots into the earth. It drinks the sunshine, the dew, and the rain. It receives the life-giving properties from the air. So the Christian is to grow by cooperating with divine agencies. Feeling our helplessness, we are to improve all the opportunities granted to us to gain a fuller experience. As the plant takes root in the soil, so we are to take deep root in Christ. As the plant receives the sunshine, the dew, and the rain, so we are to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Do you see all these divine agencies that are working in, supposed to work in our lives for the Christian life to develop? We need to take deep root where? In Christ. We need to take deep root in Christ. We need to allow the Holy Spirit, sunshine, dew, rain, all the symbols of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to open our hearts. There are a few key elements here. And I did mention taking deep root in Christ and the Holy Spirit. But there is another element that it's equally important. And it says, feeling our helplessness. Let me see if it works there. This one? Yeah. So it says, okay, feeling our helplessness. That's one of the part of our Christian growth. We cannot do it on our own. We need to depend on Christ. I wish I could better explain how God works in our hearts. But there are so many things our human understanding is not able to comprehend, is not able to understand. It requires complete trust in the Lord for His working to take place in our hearts. The closer I look at this parable, the more I understood that I need to allow God and to cooperate with God when it comes to growing and bringing fruit. It's nothing I can do on my own. It's something that only God can do to me, but He needs my cooperation. As in nature, so in grace, there can be no life without growth. The plant must either grow or die. Now, and we are talking here about the Word of God. Try to imagine applying it to the Word of God, the seed that is planted in our heart. If the seed doesn't grow, it's dying. It's either or, there is no middle ground. It's either growth or death. As its growth is silent and imperceptible but continues, so it is the development of Christian life. At every stage of development, our life must be perfect. And we should underline this. Our life must be perfect. Yet, if God's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be continual advancement. Sanctification, and Said was talking about this, sanctification is the work of a lifetime. As our opportunities multiply, our experience will enlarge and our knowledge will increase. Do you see the progression there? As our opportunities multiply, our experience will follow and will enlarge, and the knowledge will increase. We shall become strong to bear responsibility, and our maturity will be in proportion to our privileges. What a message! There cannot be life without growth. The statement is clear here. There is no middle ground. Once the seed is planted, there are two options, growth or death. This is a serious matter. Take time to consider spiritual implication. It's not enough to receive the Word of God in our hearts. Just as the seed needs to germinate and develop in producing a plant, so is with our spiritual life. It needs to sprout and grow, otherwise dies. Not all the seeds grow and develop at the same time or in the same way, but eventually all the seeds will produce something sooner or later and will yield the harvest. How is this process happening? How do we develop? The answer is in this paragraph. As our opportunities multiply, our experiences will enlarge and our knowledge increase. The key word is opportunity. As Christians, we should grab any opportunity to advance the cause of God, proclaiming His love and goodness and sow the seeds of truth. Once we hold on the opportunities, we should be strong to bear the responsibilities. The parable continues. And the wheat develops first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The object of the husbandman is in the sowing of the seed is the culture of the growing plant in the production of grain. He desires bread for the hungry and seed for the future harvest. So there is a purpose when the seed is sown. And that's the harvest. So the divine husbandman looks for harvest as the reward of his labor and sacrifice. What is this harvest? Christ is seeking to reproduce himself in the hearts of man. And he does this through those who believe in him. The object of Christian life is fruit bearing. The reproduction of Christ's character in believer that it may be reproduced in others. Pay close attention to what is the object of Christian life, to bear fruit, and that it means that each one of us, we need to reproduce the character of Christ. This is the goal of any Christian. The question for me and for us is, to what degree I'm meeting this goal? To what degree I do reflect Christ in my life, Christ's character in my life? All I can do and say for myself, it's just help me, Lord Jesus, because I'm weak and I need your help. But there is more. The plant does not germinate, grow, or bring forth for itself, but to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So no man is to live unto himself. The Christian is in the world as a representative of Christ for the salvation of other souls. Did you hear? No man should live unto himself. That's a hard thing to do. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, you are to forget yourself and try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ, tell of His goodness, do everything duty that presents itself. Carry the burdens of soul upon your heart, and by every means in your power, seek to save the lost. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. The graces of the Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase, your conviction deepen, your love be made perfect. More and more, you will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure, noble, and lovely. Here is the key for true conversion. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, you will grow and bring fruit. The only condition to bring fruit is just to have Christ's character reproduced in us. When the seed is sown, it's sown with only this purpose, to bring fruit. The sower soon will forget the hard work of tilling and preparing the ground, the tedious work of putting the seed in the ground, the time of waiting for the seed to sprout, develop, and bring fruit to the maturity, when in the company of heavenly husbandmen, we're going to see the result of his labor. Here it's another important message, and it's well known and familiar to us, but many didn't know that it's connected with actually with the parable of the seed. It says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is a privilege. This is the passage we always use for knowing when Christ is coming, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people. But this is a work of the seed growing in our hearts. It is a privilege, she goes on to say, it is a privilege of every Christian not only to look, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus. We were all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory. How quickly the whole world will be sown with the seeds of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest will be ripened, and Christ will come to gather the precious grain. We are all looking for the time when he's going to come to take us home, aren't we? We are. But it's a work we need to do to be ready for when this is going to happen. What a glorious time when this will happen. And we need to, what a glorious time this will be. And you think it's all starts with a seed that is sown in a good soil, a soil that doesn't have any stones, it's not a beaten path, it's free of thorns, a soil that it's ready to receive the seed and will bring fruit according to God's pleasure. I pray that all who are present here will have the experience and will have the character of Christ perfectly reproduced when he's going to come to take us home. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are coming before you as weak people, because we are weak, Lord. We cannot do anything on our own. We come before you to ask you that you're going to continue to work in our lives. You have sown the seed of truth in our lives. And Lord, we want to ask you to continue to watch over the seed you have put in our hearts and help it, Lord, to grow, to develop. Your promise is sure. You said the seed should spring forth. And we are claiming this promise, Lord, that your life should spring in our lives, and your character should be reproduced in ours, that we will be able to sow the seeds of truth to others and to prepare others for your soon coming. Lord, be with us as we separate this Sabbath for lunch. Bless each one of us with everything we need. And Lord, bless us to continue to grow in you and to be closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.